Here we are today. It is Tech Webcast. I'm Ellie Banks, and I am the guest today. We have Brad, Daryl Hunt, Jacob Jones, and Aldwin Altenay, and it is episode 414. And that's it.
Hi, this is Paul Carey from Carrico. Check out our latest game release, Alley Cat, on iOS and Android. And check out our website at carrico.net. Now I hand you back to Brad and the team at Tech Webcast.
Tech Webcast, streamed from our brains to our mouths, to your ears, to your brain. It's like our brains are holding hands, brain hands. That doesn't really make sense, but Tech Webcast does. Tech stuff, gadgets, games. Come and wander around geek heaven with us. Tech Webcast, here, now, holding brain hands.
Good afternoon, Brad.
Good afternoon, Daryl. How are you, mate?
I'm good. I'm sitting under, hopefully it can't be heard, but I'm sitting under the air conditioner here because it's a late summer heat wave here in my part of the state. So very, very hot. And apparently in New South Wales, temperatures are up to 46 degrees Celsius in places. So
Sydney.
So a lot of sporting events, and everything that are usually played over the weekend have been cancelled because of the extreme heat. So it's rare when they start, you know, pulling cricket matches and various other things because it's just too damn hot.
Yeah, exactly, mate. Yeah, that's crazy.
So that's it. I'm sitting under the air conditioning with my laptop and my microphone recording Tech Webcast.
Awesome, mate. We got Aldrin on. Welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you, Brad. It's great to be here.
And you actually interviewed Daryl yesterday. It was on your show.
Yes, I did indeed. Yes, we talked all about podcasting the Media Mastery Show, which is on YouTube. So people can go check that out. Look up Daryl Hunt or Aldwin Altenay, and you'll see an awesome interview we did. It went over the hour. We just kept on chatting, didn't we, Daryl?
We did until I said to Brad just before we came on air, in my room where I've got my microphone and everything, the air conditioning doesn't really reach around there very well. And I was thinking towards the end I was starting to really sweat, and I thought I'm going to look like on the video, it was just a pool of sweat by the time it finished.
Oh, I couldn't tell. You just looked excited to be on the show.
Oh, that was it. It was all, it was a cold sweat rather than a hot sweat, probably. Yeah, something like that.
But yeah, that was an awesome interview. We talked all about how to set up a podcast, the technology involved with the podcast, how to market the podcast. There was lots of great info on there.
Yeah, definitely. No, it is a big job each week to do a podcast. You know, if you want to be serious about a podcast, you need to do it properly.
And that was what we were, talking about, and having a passion for the type of podcast you want to do. You know, whatever topic is your passion, and that's why we said about Tech Webcast and the fact that you've been doing it for 7 years is that you have a passion for technology. And so that drives you to keep doing the podcast rather than just doing it and then 6 months later thinking, oh, it's on board or it's not working, exactly. And then just stopping.
Yeah, exactly. And them sort of people really, really, really annoyed me that do that. And,
So I think, whatever you do, have a passion.
Yeah, it does. Definitely. And what about you, Daryl? When does your podcast kick
well,
off?
Well, it can kick off any time now. I've got the infrastructure in place. I know that it works. I know that it feeds across to iTunes, all that sort of stuff. And I've got my hosting sorted out with Libsyn, and So now I'm ready to start. So I'll be sort of I have been in the past, but I'll be posting on Facebook and all that if people want to be a guest. As I said, mine's slightly different in the sense that it's a bit like Aldwin's, where it's a one-on-one type, although mine's an audio, not a video cast, but it's a one-on-one, and it's basically, the guest is what it's the topic that's the passion of the guest, really, and I'm just there to hopefully draw out that passion into the podcast.
Sweet. Well, so far you've got three guests so far for your show.
Yeah, no worries. So I will be speaking with you all after.
Well, like, more people. Maybe Ellie may want to be joined as well.
Cool.
Yeah, it sounds awesome.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a conversational type podcast.
Awesome. Okay, Jacob, welcome back to the podcast, mate. How's your week been?
Oh, it's been pretty darn awesome.
Anything exciting happening during the week?
Not trying to get blown off my feet while I'm waiting for the mail.
So you had wind there by the sound of it.
In miles per hour, it was more than 20 miles an hour.
Yeah, that'd blow you around a bit.
Would it?
Well,
I was
not sure that in kilometres. What's 20 miles in kilometres?
Oh, let me do that. It's still enough that if you're you get pushed around a bit, I've got to go back to my Fahrenheit and kilometres.
Why would you be in the wind anyway, Jacob? If it's so windy, mate, you're waiting for the mail.
Yeah, but what I do is if it gets windy, I have like a little area where I can sit down and not get kicked around.
Oh, okay.
It's actually. When it's out, when you're standing out there, it's nice and cool and quiet. All you're hearing is the roadway outside the subdivision.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this morning I woke up, it was like about 45 degrees Fahrenheit. That never got any higher than 60. Fahrenheit.
Okay.
We're all getting our calculators out to work out what that is. So I used to be able to do all that in my head, but I can't anymore. I'm old enough to remember when Fahrenheit was in Australia as well.
And also we've got Ali Banks on the podcast. Welcome, Ali, to the podcast.
Hey. Thanks for having me.
No problem. How's your week been?
It's been interesting. I work at a public media group, and the winds that Jacob was talking about down a little south of us, we had some tornadoes that went through, so that was really interesting.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, over in the New Orleans area.
It's crazy.
Yeah, tornadoes. Yeah. I've always thought of tornadoes as being really frightening because you just got no idea at times when they're going to appear and when they're going to land. And you see those, you know, trailer parks and various other things, videos, you know, like of where they've just tornadoes just ripped through some of those areas, and you just think the people had no chance. They didn't even know it was basically coming.
Oh no, and it's really terrible. It's what's amazing is technology has gotten so good that meteorologists can typically predict a large tornado like half an hour before it even touches down. It's amazing.
Well, that's good. At least it gives you some chance.
Yeah, it is good. My younger brother, he's a broadcast meteorologist on the coast in Mississippi, and he that's his job, is to tell people when there's a tornado coming down. So it's amazing the technology that goes into it to determine when it's going to hit and how it's going to, you know, blow through.
Cool.
And what about you, Jake? Have you been in many tornadoes? I know you got hit by lightning at one point last year.
Never. Put this way, Brad. Never got anywhere I live, never. No tornadoes ever.
Yeah, right, okay. Interesting.
It's because where I am, I'm on higher ground.
Okay.
That's yep. Cool.
And what about you, Audrey? Have you been in many tornadoes at all? Or?
No, but I grew up in Sydney, and it used to get really windy in Sydney at times, especially being near the beach. So we would get, you know, some pretty bad winds. But no, I've been in a mini earthquake. So I felt the ground shake I've felt the ground shake, but never actually swept away by the wind, although in Sydney it did feel sometimes like the wind was pushing me along when I was outside walking around. So it's pretty amazing. You know, you think about tsunamis and all the natural disasters in the world, and they can happen at any moment. You know, they say that we are overpopulated in the world at the moment, and I think the natural disasters that happen, it's a way of nature sort of balancing out the population with what the world can handle. I think that's nature's way of doing it. And you know, whoever's in the way, I guess you know, it's very unfortunate all the lives that can be lost in those tsunamis, particularly and earthquakes. And as New Zealand's a huge place for earthquakes, and I was in New Zealand actually early last year, and a lot of people from Christchurch, there's a massive earthquake happened there a few years ago. You know, they were living in other parts of, you know, they'd moved to Queenstown, or that, you know, they moved away from those areas. But it could happen at any moment. And you know, ideally, I guess you want to put yourself in a situation where you're going to be ideally away from those prone areas to natural disasters. Ideally, you know, you'd be better off probably moving to a safer area where it doesn't happen a lot, like New Zealand.
Yeah, we had James Battery on last week, and he's from New Zealand. He was in a tornado, and he said it was like really scary in that. And yeah, I couldn't imagine how bad it would be, you know, because I've never actually been in one.
Yeah, they are really scary. They come up real quick, and you only have a few seconds sometimes to get to cover, and those winds, you know, they can really tear apart your home.
Not good. Not good at all. So, Ali, tell us about what you do on the internet and what sort of technology you like to use and that sort of good stuff.
Yeah, sure. Well, I am an Apple fanatic. I mainly use Apple products. I just do. I was actually just talking to my husband today. I don't know how to use a Windows machine anymore. I've completely forgotten. but what I do a lot of blogging. I do have a website, iali.com, which I never update anymore. But that's really because my paid work is with a public media company. It's a PBS NPR affiliate in Mississippi. Nice. And so I blog for them. I manage the website, upload videos, stay up to date with what's happening in PBS digital land. So that takes up a lot of my time.
Talking of PBS, the name, we actually have a community radio station over here called PBS FM here in Melbourne. And
I've seen you post about it, and it cracks me up every time.
Yes. Jacob actually listens to online. Anyone in America or anyone around the world can actually listen to the station online, and it's a great station. It's awesome music they play, and you know, some of the shows, and they should check it out and have a listen. And
definitely.
We actually went in there one day. To do sitting in on a show and see how it all gets done. It's really interesting how it's all gets made in that, you know.
Oh gosh, yes. I assist occasionally with our radio programs at my office, and it is very interesting how a producer can go from the beginning of show to the end of the show to the next show and everything. Yep. So
yeah, some of the equipment they use, it's unbelievable, you know. It's really interesting what they use and stuff, you know.
They've got the big boards, they've got the nice stuff.
Yeah, they do. Have you actually been on air, have you at all?
I have, actually. We have a technology radio show, and you can listen to our station, I think, anywhere in the world with our app, just so you know. All you have to do is download the MPB Online app. It's in the App Store, and you can listen to us. But the name of the show I was on was Everyday Tech. I occasionally I'm on as a guest, not very often. I've filled in because most of my time is spent making sure things are working. So but I've done stuff on our television station. I've been on Southern Remedy, which is a health program. I've been on you know, whenever we do a pledge asking people for money to donate, because we are public, media. Right. So we're publicly asking people to give us money. I've done that. So it's really great. I get to do a little bit of television, a little bit of radio. It's a lot of fun.
Good stuff. And Daryl, any questions for Ellie?
So, yeah, I presume, I mean, I my experience with PBS is they used to have, when Jim Lehrer did his News Hour, that used to be broadcast on one of our networks.
Yeah.
And I think then the late Gwen Ifill would do it, and I don't know who's doing it at the moment, but that gave us a little, that gave you a snippet of politics and things within the US that was different to what our commercial networks would broadcast, which tended to be a lot of celebrity stuff and the odd story. So with PBS, I guess it's the equivalent or the closest equivalent to the ABC here in Australia. So yeah, how do you survive? I mean, is it purely all people putting their hands in their pocket and donating, or does your federal or any of the state governments there, do they help fund you?
Well, it all depends on the public broadcasting station. For our particular station, we are statewide, and Mississippi is a fairly large state. We have 8 towers, and so we do have state funding coming from our legislators, and we also receive federal funding from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. The funding that we get pretty much pays the rent on the building, keeps the towers working. But as far as programming goes, that is completely funded by viewers and listeners. We have to actually pay if we want a program from the BBC, if we want something from PBS National, if we want a program from our national public radio station, like All Things Considered or Morning Edition, all of those cost money. We don't get those for free. And in order to be a PBS or NPR affiliate, we actually, there's certain things that we have to pay for. So it's so important that people give to public media, because even though there is federal funding or state funding, it's truly only to keep the towers running.
Well, it's interesting, because
same sort of deal over here with Channel 31 over here with the community station. That's only like 6 months to go, and they've been trying to get funding and stuff to keep it on air, and it's really hard to do.
So your PBS, they're sort of all separate stations. Like, in other words, they're all self-contained, separate, and then you have a national PBS. Is that right? I'm sort of trying to get my head around the structure of it.
Sure. So we're Mississippi Public Broadcasting. We are our own separate entity, but we are also an affiliate. So there is the National PBS Group. And they are kind of like, they're the ones that are the distributors of the content. So we produce local content. We have local radio shows. We have local television shows. But as far as like Sesame Street or Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood or some of those other children's programs and national programs like Washington Week and things like that, those come through PBS.
Yep.
And it's something that could be produced maybe not by PBS, but from another station, and PBS is just the distributor.
Ah, okay. Because, yes, we have limited. Yeah. We have limited. Like I said, I've only watched, it was, you know, the Jim Lehrer News Hour, and it was through our SBS, which is our Special Broadcasting Services Network, and it was just like an hour, and it was usually the news from sort of like the day before, if you like, in America, by the time it was broadcast here. But I always saw them saying, you know, we're getting funding from, and they'd show all these people and groups that were funding them, like some of the big, you know, obviously philanthropic trusts and that. But I never realised the structure. I thought, I wondered if it was like the ABC here in Australia, but really it is actually different.
Yeah, it's completely you know, we get that little bit of funding, but it is funded by our viewers and our listeners. And it's also funded, we also do underwriting. We don't run ads, which yep. is kind of interesting. We run something called underwriting. So it's just you kind of get to say your name on the air or have your logo kind of go up, but you can't have a call to action. And the idea is it's not a commercial station. It's public media. We don't lean either way. We're middle of the road. We're here to bring you good, you know, just real content. It's not Republican or Democrat or anything like that. It's just here it is. Here's the news and here's children's programming, that kind of stuff.
Excellent.
All right. So Ali, what sort of the community channel, is it live 24/7, and can you watch it online if I'm in Australia, can I watch it or not?
I don't know if you can watch it online with being in Australia. I know that there, you know, you've got the rights issues. It's so frustrating. Yeah, it's like I can't watch Doctor Who when I want to watch it.
Yeah.
But I know you can listen. I'm not sure about watching, but you can go to mpbonline.org, and that is our station, and that's our website, and that is the website I maintain. Okay. And you can see all the stuff that we do.
Sweet. Jacob, any questions for Ali?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead, man.
Well, this is a biggie.
Okay.
What type of tech do you use in your work day?
I have an iMac at the office that I use. I guess I'm not your typical web person, but I love my iMac. Let's see. I use an iPad. I use my cell phone a lot. I have an iPhone 7 Plus that I just got, and I love it. And, you know, those are the three main pieces of equipment I use on a daily basis. I also have I can't remember what kind of Sony camera it is, but we have this new fancy DSLR Sony camera that does video and all sorts of cool things. And we use that. They don't let me play with the cameras downstairs. We have the really nice professional HD, like fancy cameras, but I can't play with those. Those are like more than what I make in a year.
What about you, Aldrin? Have you got any questions for Ali?
Oh, was that for me?
Yep.
It's just cut out a bit. Sorry about that. I was just checking out mpbonline.org, and it says here you can actually listen to it online and you can also watch it as well. Oh, so it's a pretty cool website. I'm just checking it all out. Yeah, awesome. So a lot of local content there, Ellie.
Yeah, and lots of local content.
It's awesome. I'm actually a photojournalist by trade, so I'm interested in the news aspect of what you do. So I can see it's very focused on the local area. Do you also cover your national or international news as well?
Sure. Actually, we air BBC after the 10 o'clock hour, and I think that's the big thing from listeners. We always get these little notes. They're like, more BBC. And we also have our national programming. So Morning Edition and All Things Considered on NPR, our national public radio. Those are the national radio news programs. There's also, what's the midday program? Is it Here Now? I think it's Here Now. But they do reporting throughout the day. And then we also have a team of local reporters. And they go out throughout the entire state, and they'll cover anything from the legislative session to tornadoes to a protest, anything that's going on in the state. So, and we are a very, very large state. So that always makes it really interesting.
That's great. And is there any things that you can't say on there? Like, for example, with ABC, you're not meant to mention websites, for example. So do you have anything like that where you've got sort of things that are censored, like websites or certain things you can't say on any of your shows?
Yeah, so on the air, we can't say, you can go to our website to purchase something. You can't have a call to action specifically about purchasing a thing. You can't sell a product or a service, but you can have a more information, I believe. I'm almost positive. But yeah, it's more awareness and less trying to sell someone something.
Yeah, you can't have that as a commercial thing. I'd actually love to interview you for my Media Mastery show and talk about how people can get their message onto. So someone's got a great story. How do they actually approach you with their story? You know, what works, what doesn't work in that area for you?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to do that. That would be fun.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. And we could just spend a whole hour on that one.
Oh, my gosh, really?
Yeah, but just some tips maybe while we're on this show, you know, some tips on you know, if someone has got a great story, what's the best way for them to approach you with that?
Yeah, so we have a submit a story button on our page, and that's a great way to do it. But really, a lot of people will just call our station. We have a email account that we give out to PR professionals or anyone, for that matter, who would want to submit a story. And it goes directly to our managing editors and to our reporters. And it's really the best way to get in contact with them. You know, for us, the angle and the pitch that really needs to be heard is from a statewide perspective. So we don't do things that are too localized. If it's too localized, it doesn't really fit our audience because we are speaking to a statewide group. But if it's statewide, that's really who we want on our station because that fits our audience.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you. That's great, Ellie. Well done. Yeah, sounds like you're doing a great job there.
Thank you.
All right. So, Audrey, could you send me through that link so I could
mpbonline.org. I just sent that there on the Skype chat.
Awesome. I think that'd be fantastic to have Ali on your show, Audrey. It'd be good.
Yes. Yes. Media Mastery Show coming up. We'll chat after the show at some stage, Ellie. We'll connect on Facebook or Skype and get that happening. That'll be awesome.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, definitely. So, Ali, what's your view on the new iPhone 7 Plus? You've had it for how long? For now?
Oh my gosh, I think I've had it for a week or two, and I love it. It is a great device. I thought I would miss the headphone jack, and I really don't.
Right. Okay. Yep. Yeah, so, I've got the iPhone 7. I love it. It's a great phone. I love the new home button.
Yeah. Oh, the new home button's fantastic.
Yeah, and what else do you have? You got the new Apple TV?
Oh gosh, no. we're still using our Rokus. We did just upgrade our Roku and our main television to the new fancy 4K whatever. Even though we don't have a 4K TV, but we do love that. It's been fantastic.
Oh, okay. And what else have you been getting into? Any other cool technology you want to mention? Or you got verified on Twitter, which is fantastic.
I did get verified on Twitter. And I'm pretty sure I just gamed the system or something because I'm not really sure. I think it's because I do some small reporting through our Twitter account, and I'm sure that's probably why it was verified. But it's, you know, it's interesting. We use Twitter at our office, but Facebook has been the big thing. And it's because our audience is a little older, skews older, and for some reason they are all on Facebook. So,
yeah.
I heard the other day that there's 2 billion people now on Facebook. I thought it was 1.6 billion. It's just grown crazy.
It's insane. And we've, you know, in Mississippi, we've seen a decline in people using Twitter, but Facebook is pretty steady and solid. So, it is going to stay, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Darryl, any questions for Ali?
Yeah, I was just going to ask, you were talking earlier about that you are like, all PBS is sort of a middle of the road. It doesn't get into, you know, sort of overtly a Democrat or Republican. How do you balance that? Because I'm, you know, with a story that comes up and you think, do you have like an editorial group that sit there and say, we've got to do it this particular way because it might end up being focused too much towards one side of politics? And also with the funding side of it, do you ever get sort of like people or groups saying, hey, we'll throw in a lot of money if you perhaps slant something a little bit our way? Is that the, because of, you know, being paid for by the public?
Oh, yeah. So we don't accept bribes, I guess. We have a strict ethics policy. There is a group that keeps us ethical, we have, you know, that's why we have two editors for our news team. And I have watched our reporters go through the process on the national level. If one of their stories gets picked up and the editing process with the ethics is insane. Because we really do try to be middle of the road. Do things get through? I'm sure they do. When it comes to journalism and true ethics, the gold standard is public media in America. And it is a tough thing to do because it is hard to take your opinion out of something, but you got to stick to the facts. That's what we are about. Telling the public, giving them the facts, letting them make up their own mind.
Yeah, I sort of mentioned it because particularly with the emphasis now on, you know, fake news has been the new catch cry that's been particularly the Trump election, the sort of fake news sites that were coming out and saying, you know, well, you know, things like, you know, against his opposition. And I'm sure there were fake news sites that were attacking him as well. But, yeah, I guess it would mean you would need to even be more, if you like, in that middle ground and more watching what you were saying, and that because of this sort of fear of being sort of, you know, tarnished with that sort of brush.
Oh, definitely. We're very cautious. I know on our level and a state level, we are very cautious about what we say, just to make sure that we're not, you know, going one way or the other. It's tough. It's not an easy thing to do, but ethics, they're just so important.
Yep.
To what we do every day.
Cool.
It comes down to objective versus subjective reporting, you know, and it's been a constant battle, I think, for journalists for years to take your opinion out of the story process. You know, it's really tricky because we all have opinions about things, and actually to have a balanced report on something is really challenging.
Very.
I think as long as you can just...
Any questions, Jacob, for Ali? Sorry, Darryl, didn't mean to cut you right off. Mate.
No, all good.
Jacob.
Let Darryl say what he was wanting to say.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, it's like the same out here where people confuse editorial and actual a journalist doing trying to do a balanced report with an opinion piece. And I think that's the thing. To my mind, as long as you distinguish the two, and if you are someone that's saying your opinion, as long as you let people know, this is my opinion, this is an opinion piece, and it's not an actual journalistic, I'm not trying to be middle of the road. I think that's one of the most important things.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Now,
jump in, Jacob. Go for it.
Yeah, I was watching your live video. There was supposed to be tonight a comet and an eclipse at the same time tonight.
Yes. I don't know if it's happened yet. The eclipse started and then we had clouds, so we decided to go inside. But in parts of North America right now, you can see some form of a lunar eclipse and a comet if you have binoculars.
And they, and I know the name of the moon that they were going to call it. They call it a snow moon.
Oh. Snow moon. That's interesting.
Yeah, because the Weather Channel had a live feed because they had the, one of their telescopes pointing straight right at it. No clouds, oh, cool. So they had like information on the bottom of the screen saying, "This is da 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 da," and what when it's supposed to come effect or come around.
Oh wow, that's neat.
While we're talking about the moon, can I just add something?
Yeah.
Yes.
There's a great app I've got on my phone called Phases of the Moon. And right now, I just opened it, and it says we have a full moon 100% illuminated right now as we're speaking. It's 380,971.48.54.59. It keeps changing kilometers away. It's 15 days old. It rises at 1842, sets at 6:17 a.m., and we're going from Leo into Virgo. So this app tells you exactly what the phases of the moon are right now, and it shows the moon moving in orbit, and you can actually put it forward to other dates as well. It's an awesome app. It's called Phases of the Moon, and we're right now on 100% illuminated. So if you're feeling a bit emotional right now, we have the full moon happening in full force right now.
Emotional or werewolfish? Oh, wow.
It's moving. It's now 0.783 kilometers away. 380,974.05. It just keeps changing. It shows it exactly moving on this app. It's amazing. It shows a picture of the moon.
That's cool.
Mm.
That is
cool. Very cool. That's awesome. Yeah.
Google Earth, they have a mode that you could just change it to moon mode or watch the planets.
So Daryl, do you want to give a quick shout out to Sean? He's one of the patrons that messaged me the other day. Shout out to Sean. He listens to the podcast all the time.
Yeah, no, big shout out to Sean for
we talked about vinyl too much.
Yeah, oh yes, we'll talk to. Yeah, we did have a few vinyl episodes, and I did mention in the Media Mastery show yesterday that you were on your vinyl kick, Brad, that you were having
it will never leave.
So we had some vinyl, but as I said in yesterday, you know, vinyl and it does have a technology angle, because you're looking at an older form of technology which is now coming back, and of course, obviously, you know, people are looking at new technologies to play vinyl on that as well. So yes, but I do understand Sean saying that maybe, you know, we had a few episodes one after the other in vinyl, but thank Sean for his continued support of Tech Webcast through Patreon. Yes. We do appreciate it, and we do like feedback, as long as it's constructive feedback and not, you know, trolling type feedback. As long, you know, we love feedback, because we know then that people are out there listening. And we will try to do as much as we can to support your feedback.
Yeah, exactly. And we also would like to have Sean on the podcast one day to get his view on.
He can talk on vinyl. No, you're joking.
on technology stuff, because I know he's a big Apple fan. Ali, what about you? I know you're a big Apple fan. And what's your view on the iPhone 7? What do you like about it so far? I know I've asked you this question, but we went off in a different direction.
Oh, I don't know. I think my favorite thing is the camera.
The camera, yes. That's awesome. Yeah, they love the camera. Yeah, the two cameras on the back.
The dual camera, it's amazing. It's I need it a lot for work, so I was really excited about it.
Cool. What size did you get?
Oh my gosh. I think I got the 128.
Okay, or maybe you can tell Audrey about the iPhone, and maybe you can make her buy one at the end of the show.
Hey, I used to sell cell phones, so you know.
Oh, okay, great. Well, I've got the MacBook Air, which I love, but I'm on the Samsung Note phone because I had a lot of dramas with my old iPhones. So, so I haven't quite, you know, gone over to the iPhone again. However, I will look at it because it will work a lot better to download photos onto my MacBook Air.
And there's also, like, do you use the photo app on your Mac, Audrey? There's like a photo app.
No, I don't.
Oh, you don't? Okay, no. So you can sync all your, if you had an iPhone, you can actually sync all your photos onto that app and save them onto your Mac.
Mm, whereas with a Samsung, it's a pain in the backside.
Yes, I would not use Samsung. Samsung, just the, not good, not good.
I use one. As far as hardware goes, I will say the Samsung is fantastic. It's the software that's not great.
Yeah, software. Right, fine. Software.
Oh, and I have something to say.
Go ahead, Jacob.
And the one nasty phone that kept exploding people and losing their stuff. They found out what it was.
Didn't the factory caught on fire or something, that's true. Jake?
Yeah, people were losing their cars. Yeah, oh. And actually, one of them a while back was cutting off. They actually caught it on video of it starting to smoke and stuff. And they found out the people that were making the phones, the phone itself was good, but the people were putting in faulty batteries. That's what they found, because one of the cells was bulging.
So Ali, how would you sell Audra the iPhone? Go ahead. I'll give you 1 minute to go to sell the iPhone.
Oh, boy. The iPhone's great. You can sync everything. You've got iMessage, which means you can text for free. Oh, my gosh. You've got the right size. You've got your hardware and your software all together. It's the same thing. You got to go for the iPhone. You can go to a store and someone will walk you through making it go. You can't get better service than Apple. You just can't.
And there's also FaceTime video too.
Oh yes.
And FaceTime audio.
Okay. What about battery life on the new iPhone?
Okay, so battery life on my old iPhone was horrendous. On the new one, it was supposed to be worse. But I have been on my phone today. As you know, I've done Facebook Live. I've been talking on it. I've done all sorts of stuff. And I'm at 61%.
Okay.
So that is not bad. Because I think I talked on the phone for about an hour on my way home from work. I Facebook Live twice. I've been tweeting all day from it. I've been Facebooking for work and personal. And it is just fantastic.
So really, Ellie, it's a mini computer in your hand.
It is. And it's definitely an improvement from the 6. I was very frustrated by the 6. It was not what I expected out of Apple, but I can already tell a difference in quality with this iPhone.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I've FaceTimed Jacob a few times on video when I run around Melbourne and stuff. And Jacob, what do you reckon of the FaceTime video quality when I do it?
Pretty good, unless you're in a bad 4G spot.
Bad reception. Yeah, exactly. But the video, when I do, the battery is great. It lasts a long time. And the iPhone 7 is just a great phone. Whatever you pick, you know, it's an iPhone. It's just awesome.
And I've got an Apple Watch, so having the iPhone, Apple Watch,
Apple Watch is awesome. Yes, Darryl, what about you? What do you think of the iPhone?
Yeah, look, I've got an iPhone 6, so I'm a little bit behind you guys, but I like it, and I've always liked it because it was easy to use. And it might sound for people who are into technology, but you know, I had friends who had, you know, going back to the old days, the old feature phone days, who hated mobile phones because of the menus and the structures and the whole thing. It was just really difficult to use. And so when, you know, the original iPhone came out and various iterations of it, it's like all of a sudden people said, well, I can actually use a device now. I think it simplified. And I think that's something we might, you know, those of us that love technology sort of forget sometimes. It did revolutionise that simplification. And when Steve Jobs was still around, I mean, he was saying at the time that he hated the menus and the appalling software in the old feature phones. He said they just, it was just not intuitive, and I think that's what drove him to do the iPhone, because he knew if he could do a phone that was easy for people to do what they wanted to do, it would sell truckloads, and he was proven right. It's sold truckloads, and it continues to sell truckloads. And they can basically, you know, Apple set the price, and you know, sometimes I think, are people still going to pay that sort of price for that phone? And yet, when another one comes out, yep, they're all queued up out there, and they're all buying them.
And same as and some of the apps you get with the iPhone when you buy the new phone, some of the apps you get, you're like iMovie and GarageBand and, yep, and this sort of thing. I was watching someone on Instagram a while back. This guy does music and stuff, and I think he just bought a new iPhone and didn't even realize that GarageBand came on the phone.
Yeah, they used to be like a $10 each app originally, yeah. And then they, I forget which version of the iPhone, they said, well, we'll give you that for free. But I think the beauty with the iPhone is, even if you're not an iPhone user, if you're, you know, you use Samsung or you use HTC or use any other big brands, it was the iPhone that took the phone from being a chore to use to being a pleasure to use, and then everybody else has picked up on that. So even if you're not an iPhone user and you're using a Samsung, it's all related back to the fact of, you know, icons and the apps and various other things, back to those early days, the early iPhones. And because everyone just suddenly thought, no one's going to go back to feature phones, you know. And so it spurred on the development. And then you had the iPad, which spurred on tablet development. And so, you know, it doesn't matter what you use, but it all relates back to that sort of breakthrough that Steve Jobs did with the design of the iPhone.
Yeah, exactly. Jake, what about you? What's your view on all this? Would you, if you had a chance to get a new phone, iPhone or a Android phone, which one would you pick?
An iPhone.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Audrey, what about you? What's your view on this? Are you now swayed to get an iPhone? At all, or?
Well, I'm definitely tempted to go and have a look at the iPhone 7. I am very tempted. I like the fact that the new iPhones are bigger than the old ones, because I always thought the old ones were a little bit small. I did have some bad experiences. I got the black screen of death once, and another time, I've lost a lot of contacts and photos and things off my iPhones in the past. And so it's kind of like once bitten, twice shy. So,
trust me, seriously, this won't happen again. You can take my word for it. If it happens, you can come. You can blame me or Jacob.
Okay. I will go and check out the iPhone 7.
Go ahead. Check it out and do it, because you won't regret it.
That point, you know, backing up your photos and contacts, etc., it's so important. So what do you do with the iPhones? How do you back it up?
Well, you just plug it into iTunes, let it sync, and then it's done. It's that simple. Okay.
Yeah, and you can actually use iCloud, which is awesome. Okay. I use that heavily. Because I can put it all up in the cloud, and I pay, I pay $1 a month, and I have all this space, and I can put up my photos, music, anything that I have, and access it from any device.
Exactly, and you can also do AirPlay too. If you have an Apple TV, you can actually AirPlay stuff from your phone as well, which is good.
Okay.
And
I've heard it's pretty amazing, actually.
It is. It is great. It's a great device. Jacob, what do you reckon?
Go and get them.
Up to it. I'm going to go buy vinyl, buy a record player, and buy an iPhone 7. There we go. And then the next thing will come out.
Yep. All right. So last word. Dally, did you enjoy the podcast? And where can they get hold of you if they want to ask you any more tech stuff related questions?
Oh gosh, I had a great time. This was so much fun. Thank you all so much for having me.
No problem. And where can they get hold of you if they want to ask you more questions?
Oh yeah, definitely. You can find me on Twitter at ILE. You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/ILE. You can go to my website that I never update anymore because I have a real job, and that's ile.com. And you can always check out the cool content that I do for my paid job at mpponline.org.
And also check it out on Snapchat as well. Some of the Snapchat videos you do, Ali, are really funny.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, mostly with my child who is turning 3 this month and is a ham. So.
That's awesome. You can get me on Twitter at Brad Oz on the Tech Webcast. What about you, Audrey? Where can I get hold of you?
You can go at Aldwin on Twitter, or just Google me, Aldwin Altenau. I'm the only one anywhere in the world with that name, as you can imagine. And also on my website, aaxpos.com, so you can connect with me there. Mainly the social media, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, Pinterest, and YouTube. My YouTube channel, Aldwin Altenau, where people can see all those great shows. And I'm always looking for guests for those shows too, so just check out Aldwin Altenau on YouTube.
You should get Vincent Brown on one day on your show, Vincent Brown.
Okay.
Vincent Brown, Andrew Cunningham, you should get him on. He's a cool dude.
Awesome, awesome. We can take turns. We can share guests.
Yeah, Vincent's been on. So, he may want to come back on one day on here to talk about some stuff. But
great.
And who else would be good to get on? I don't know. Who else, Jake, do you reckon she should get on? What about Craig Shipp? Would Craig Shipp be a good guest?
No.
Oh my!
Why is that?
He'll talk too much about Audrey. Yeah, I'll tell you more after the show.
Okay. Well, the three shows, just so people. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say he does do interesting content though, Craig Shipp. He does. Does stuff on YouTube and that. You may want to get him on and a few other people.
Yeah, cool. So check. What are the shows? I've got media mastery shows all about getting your message to the masses through marketing. So how to market yourself. We've got Truth Expose TV, exposing the truth of what's going on in the world, and Animal Action TV, which is people doing great stuff for animals. So they're the three shows at the moment, and I'm going to be launching a new one with celebrity interviews as well very soon.
Oh, really? What sort of celebrities will you have?
Performers. Performers. I really want to interview Debbie Harry from Blondie again and Cyndi Lauper. Oh. I interviewed them years ago when I was a journalist at The Sun 15 years ago, and they're both coming out today on The Green, which is an event happening in Queensland in April, and so I'd love to interview those two. I'm going to be headhunting those two as some of my first people to interview, and I really want to interview David Attenborough for my Animal Action TV, so I'm going to headhunt him as well.
Yep. And also Jerry Seinfeld's coming out to Australia too.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
Awesome. Yeah, he's coming out to Australia too for his show or something. But Dara, what about you? Where can they get hold of you?
They can get me on the Twitters at Learnscape, and I'm on Google Plus at Daryl Hunt on Google Plus, and I'm Conversable Cast on Facebook if you want to catch up with my podcast Facebook page.
Yes. Well, make sure you follow Daryl on Twitter and on Instagram as well. What's your Instagram?
Oh, I've got to think what that is now, but I've forgotten what my name is on Instagram. Yeah, I'm such a social media maven.
I think it's Daryl Hunt.
It's Daryl Hunt, I think. Yeah, I was something, you know, radical. I just put my name down. So, I couldn't think of anything at the time. So I just put my own name down on it. But Instagram.
Daryl Hunt. I've just found it.
Yep.
Daryl Hunt, yes. And you want to mention the Patreon real quick, Daryl, before we go?
Yeah, so if you're out there listening to Tech Webcast and you enjoy listening to Tech Webcast and you want to assist Tech Webcast, because, as I mentioned on Aldwin's show yesterday, podcasting is not free. Someone has to pay the piper in hosting and various other things. So if you want to support Tech Webcast, just jump onto patreon.com/techwebcast. And it's one of those, it's a subscription-based service, so you can pay anything from, you know, $1 a month, $2 a month, whatever. But any amount like that would be greatly appreciated and helps us keep the podcast running.
Exactly. Good stuff, Daryl. Good to have you on the podcast, mate.
Thank you.
Good interview yesterday too.
Yeah, it was great fun. It was great to – I hadn't done a video sort of thing in a long, long time, so it was great to do a video cast.
Have you had many people interview before you, Daryl? Besides on here and Audrey, have you had many people?
No, not really. Only going back to – I used to do a little bit years ago on – we have a community radio station here, and I'd been on there a couple of times because one of my passions is theatre. And so I'd been on there help like promoting a production that we were putting on, and so they'd get on and interview me about a show, and you know who was in it and what was it about and all those sorts of things. But on our community radio station here in Mansfield.
Awesome. Okay. Good stuff. Jacob, what about you, mate? This is your last word for the podcast. Next week we're going to have John Powers on next week. He does TV. music related stuff on TV. So it'd be interesting to talk to him. He's been on before.
Cool.
So you want to come back. So, yeah, Jacob, fire away. What do you want to say, mate? Thanks, everyone, for being on the podcast. So, Ali, you are awesome. Thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. Daryl and Audrey, thank you for being on.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. It was awesome again.
Yes.
Really enjoyed it.
Next week?
Yes, next week. Absolutely. Yep. I've got another event, and I'll come out of the event for it. It's worth coming out of events. I love these shows. So,
thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on.
All right. Fire away, Jacob. It's all on you, mate. Go ahead.
You can follow me at jazzbot326691z. And everybody just lost the game.
Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. Because technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech, 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 tech webcast. Ha, ha. Tech, 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 tech webcast. Big ups to Andrew, to Brad, Jody, Steve, and Jennifer!